What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're continuing talking about the fivefold ministry. We'll be talking about evangelists today, who they are, what they do, how to be an evangelist, what not to do, what you should do as an evangelist. And so, as we mentioned before, the evangelist is one of the administrative offices amongst the five that Jesus gives out to the church. And the scriptures are clear that the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, teacher, evangelist, and pastor, were set up by Jesus Christ to equip the saints to do the work of ministry and to bring them to maturity. So that's what the evangelist does. And so we're going to talk about the evangelist right now. Evangelist means to bring good tidings, which is the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom. So that's what he does. It's very simple. He just brings a message. That's what he does. And it comes from the word. The word evangelist comes from the word preacher. The word preacher means to announce good news, to declare, to show, once again, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the kingdom. So preacher and evangelist is the same thing. So when you say there's a preacher over there, that he's an evangelist. The evangelist and the preacher are the same thing. All right? Evangelist preaches, and a preacher is an evangelist. He is doing the work of an evangelist. So in the context of scripture, though, anytime you mention evangelists, they are preaching a specific message, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So an evangelist, they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that man and God can be reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we don't have to perish for our sins, that we can have eternal life, that we can have purpose and all that good stuff. So what the office of an evangelist does is they campaign for Christ. They're out campaigning for Christ. They're part of a local church, but they go out and they bring in souls. And they teach the rest of the saints how to do the same. We all have the work of an evangelist on some level. You know, we have other operations in within the church and outside in some cases. But primarily, he's doing most of that work of campaigning. Going out, maybe full time or even part time, going out preaching the gospel. He's on the street corners. He's online. He's finding festivals where there's going to be a lot of people. He's going out there and he's doing the work, and he's constantly doing the work. Now, we all are called to do that on some level, because we may be at our work and the Holy Spirit may lay on the heart to speak to somebody. But we don't do it like he does it. He does it full time. He's constantly out there campaigning for Christ and bringing in souls. And you may have multiple evangelists in the church. And when you listen to him preach the gospel, you'll learn from him. You'll learn how to do it yourself. He may be in front of a crowd, but you'll see how to do it, and you'll learn from him. And so he teaches the saints how to be good evangelists themselves, or be preachers of the gospel. And so that's the difference between us and the evangelist. He's doing it most of the time. We're doing it part-time here and there as the Holy Spirit leads us. So we seen Paul do some of this. We mentioned how the apostles in the last sermon, they do evangelism, do prophecy, they do teaching, and do pastoring. And so we seen some of this exemplified through Paul's writings. That's where I'm getting some of the understanding of evangelism from Paul. And so I'm going to be bringing up some of the scriptures that he wrote regarding that. So another thing the evangelist does is he revives the church at times. So the local church that he's a part of, sometimes he got to just preach to the people because they may have gotten weary in their faith or whatever. And so it brings about a revival to the people. And so it's you know, it's like them hearing the gospel again for the first time. And it brings them back. And the evangelist, who this person is, he's like a salesman. But of course, God has given him with the words to say and direct him to who he needs to speak to. So I'm not going to say that the evangelist is coming up with ways to talk to people. It's God that's giving him all of those directions and what to say and laying on his heart how to communicate a certain aspect of the gospel. And so that's what he's like. He's like a salesman for the good news of Jesus Christ. He's charismatic. God has placed charisma onto him to that people come and want to listen to him. Okay, he's very ambitious for the gospel. He can't stop talking about Jesus Christ. in the good news that men can be reconciled to God. Okay. Now, we all have that in us. You know, if you ask everyday saint, they're going to tell you about Jesus because they love Jesus and it's on their heart. But this guy is he's got this fire for this good news and that he's always bringing that. And so that's how you know you're an evangelist. If that's always on you to always preach that gospel, you want to get a microphone and just tell everybody, you know, you just can't help but preach the gospel. And so, you know, you might be an evangelist if that's the case. You preach the benefits. And while I'm talking about this, you can probably get that most pastors who are titled as pastors are really, really evangelists because that's what they're bringing to the table every Sunday. Something positive, something that's uplifting, something that touches the pain points of certain people in the audience, and it uplifts them and moves them. That's what a preacher or an evangelist does. And so that's why they sometimes call the pastor a preacher. But that's not really what that pastor should be doing. And we'll talk about what pastors really do. But what we've seen in the pulpit is really evangelists. And you'll also see this when they go to other churches. Well, pastor's not here today. He's at another church preaching to another congregation. Why is he over there talking to them? I remember when we, back in the day, there were preachers that would come from other churches and to bring revival to our church. You know, that's an evangelist. That's not a pastor. Pastors stay with their flock, okay? They stay with their flock. They don't go around to other flocks preaching the gospel, all right? They don't do that, okay? An evangelist does that. And so a lot of so-called men of God who are labeled pastors are really operating as evangelists, all right? They're charismatic. They can get people moving, and that's what they're doing. They're evangelists, but they're primarily operating internally, which is not their calling. They should be out in front of people who are not even saved, who haven't heard the gospel, or who heard the gospel, but they need to hear it again. And so the evangelist is primarily external. He's outside. He's not in the church all the time preaching the gospel to the saints. They already know the gospel. He needs to be outside in front of the world, people in the community who they know about Jesus, but they need to be reminded. And that's the love of God. He's not going to just evangelize an environment and just leave and not talk to the people again. He's always coming back to the people and reminding them. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you and things of that nature. He's always coming back. God loves people. You know, he's bringing the gospel to the good news to these people. You know, so even though the apostle laid the groundwork, he brought the gospel, brought the light to that environment. There's still people who don't accept it just off. And so you need the evangelist to come behind the apostle and preach constantly, to come in different areas and preach. And so that's what the evangelist does. So let's get more into how to be an evangelist and the message and how it's supposed to go forward. So mostly as an evangelist, your message is going to be positive. All right. Because it's good news. It's glad tidings. It's to declare, to announce the good news. That's what evangelism, preaching, the good news is all about. So when I see people on the corner just talking about all everybody going to hell, and I seen this video on YouTube, this woman was just sitting pretty much going down a list of different sins and people who practice them. Homosexuals, y'all going to hell. All you people committing abortion, y'all going to hell. This was all she was saying. That's not good news. That's bad news without a balance of good news. So while you must mention that there is a punishment for sin, you must focus on primarily the good news that God wants to save you from perishing. You see, we can't leave out that God is unhappy and angry with sin, but we have to focus on primarily that he wants to save people from perishing. So when I see a person, just all they're talking about is hell, that's an unbalanced evangelist. But primarily the gospel message is positive. It's salvation. It's good news. All right. So another part of this is evangelists must be balanced with teachers, because all preaching without instructions is incomplete. And that's what a lot of people are getting on in the pulpit on Sunday. They're just getting a bunch of good news and not enough teaching and instruction, because that's what comes next. And so it's important that the evangelist always links the people that they bring to the gospel to a church, to a ministry that can follow up and teach them, because they can't just have a conversion and they accept Jesus Christ, but nobody to follow up and disciple them. Okay. We ought to make disciples. Disciples are learners, people who are continuing in the belief and the understanding of Jesus Christ and finding out their purpose and how to fit into the kingdom. And what if you leave that out and not give them access to those people, then you're not doing the people a service. So you can preach the gospel, but you got to follow up and make sure that they are connected to somebody after the fact. So if they accept that gospel, they should have a business card with a phone number on it, or a website to go to, or a ministry, or somebody to talk to, or a phone number to call to follow up and continue in their teaching. You can't just leave them out there like that. And that's for the evangelist. Now, say you're just a saint. You don't have the office of evangelist. That may not be the case. You may not have any access, or you may not be able to give them anything. But I'm just talking about the evangelist. They must have a system in place to where they are able to connect people to further teaching. All right. And once again, like I said, in the pulpits, most people are getting preaching. They're getting good news. They're being told what they want to hear, which is sometimes biblical. And so all they want to hear is that. And it has to be balanced with teaching. It has to be balanced with also the negative sides of what's going to happen to them, or that they need to repent of sins and things of that nature. And so the evangelist comes with that. He comes with the balance of truth that, hey, God is not happy with your sins. But if you repent, he wants to save you and he'll transform your life. And then that evangelist can link that person to a teacher to further their understanding of different concepts in the Bible. So another thing is that preaching must be done without charge. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 18. Paul said, I'm not going to charge, so there should be no charging of the people. Just give them the gospel and let God take care of the financial side of it. That's what I see in scripture. Once again, the gospel message must be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. This is found in Luke chapter 3, verses 18, where John the Baptist is bringing the gospel and he's exhorting the people. When you look up the word exhort, it means to encourage. It means to comfort. It means to strengthen. So the gospel message must do that. It cannot be this condemning message where everybody hears it and all they get is just, you're just going to hell. You're just going to hell. You're just going to hell. And that's what I heard from that particular lady on that YouTube video. Just going out, telling people, everybody going to hell. Everybody going to hell. People know they're wrong. They just need to hear how to come out of that and what God can do for them, and how God can change their life and save them. Not focusing on just you going to hell. Once again, it's about glad tidings. Okay. When the preacher comes, it should be a light and a refreshing feeling in the environment when he comes. Not this darkness, all y'all going to hell kind of thing, So once again, the preacher must be led by the Spirit. And everything we do must be led by the Spirit. The gospel is for chosen people. We read in the last sermon that Paul, he said, what was he coming to do? To preach the message of reconciliation in the kingdom and salvation to the God's chosen. So God is going out and seeing, okay, I know that person need to hear this. He chose them. And so you must be led by the Spirit. You can't just be randomly preaching the gospel. And a lot of so-called evangelists, people who want to do the work, they just go out into an environment where there's a lot of people and just start preaching. Okay? You got to be led there. You're going to get opposition, but you got to be led to a place where God wants you to speak, because he has people in mind that he has chosen to hear. And if you go to a place where nobody has been chosen to hear, then you're wasting your time. And all you're going to get is a bunch of flack and drama, and nothing's going to happen. So you want to go somewhere where God has led you to go, so that those who are chosen can hear the message. And they may or may not accept it then, but you did your job and you were in the Spirit and you were led by God. And that's the way you got to do it. All right. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17. Because this is another way of how we have to preach the gospel. And let's see here. Let me bring it up. This is in the New Living Translation. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 31. But I want to just zoom in on 17 first. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. So Paul is saying, basically, I didn't come to baptize because John already did all that. But I preach the good news, and not with clever speech. And that's what I want to zone in on. Not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Clever speech means basically making it complicated, making it sound very astute. In other words, the gospel message is supposed to be simple. Don't complicate it. And the reason why is because, once again, God has chosen certain people. We're going to talk about this here. This is in verse 18. It says, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatness of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. So here he's saying that he's bringing the gospel to people who are simple, who have humbled themselves, not these people who think they're intelligent, that they think they know it all, that they think they understand God, or they think they know what the solution to man's problems are. Okay? The proud, the arrogant, the high-minded will not understand the gospel. It will look like foolishness to them. He mentions two people. He mentions the Jews and he mentions the Greeks. The Greeks are all about information and knowledge. The gospel is not going to make sense to them because, like I said, this is nonsense. This is not deep knowledge to us. We reject this. And then the Jews, they are offended by the gospel, or we're talking about Black Hebrew Israelites, because it requires them to believe without sight. If you look up, our biggest issue is we need to see something. We can't just believe and accept stuff. We can't just walk in faith. We got to see something. So, you know, you look at all the writings with Jesus and the Pharisee, they kept talking about, well, let me see something first. If you show me something, then I'll believe. You know, God is like, you need to believe me and just accept what I'm saying by faith. You know, I'm not giving you anything. But that's why they're offended. And so you have to be called to who needs to hear the gospel. You need to be led by the Spirit to who needs to hear the gospel. And he says he's not going to do it in this intellectual kind of way. It's going to be very simple. And I've seen people treat me funny because I preach the gospel very simply. And they said, and they kept emphasizing, it's so simple. It's just so simple. But they say it in a condescending way, as if it's supposed to be detailed and very intricate and complicated. And there are people who think like this. They just need, stuff needs to be that way in order to be legitimate, you know. But he's saying God's coming in a different way. And the people who are proud and self-centered, who think they know everything, they got all these degrees and they're very proud in what they think they know, they're going to get passed over when it comes to the gospel because God's not talking to them. Until they get to a place of humility to where they say, I don't know the solution to my problems. I don't know God. That's when God is able to speak to them in a simple way and they'll be able to accept it. But for those who are perishing, who don't want God, all this gospel message is going to look like a foolishness to them. This is crazy. A dead Jew on the cross is going to save my life? Really? That don't make no sense to me. Blood? What's that got to do with anything? That's how they look at stuff. But to those who are humble, who have been chosen by God, because God looked into their soul and said, you know what? You're a good candidate for salvation. For those people, God speaks to them And then they're able to understand the gospel. And then it's up to them to accept it. They can accept it or reject it. And so it's not to say that all simple people or uneducated people accept the gospel. It's just saying that you have to get to a place where you're humble. And then that's when God speaks to you, or and he looks into your soul and says, you're a good candidate for this. Not everybody accepts the gospel, even if they're simple or they, you know, uneducated. And then there are educated people who, like Paul, he was a scholar of the word. He accepted the gospel. So it's not to say that if you're educated and got, you know, more degrees in a thermometer that you can't hear the gospel, or that you, if you're simple, you can get the gospel. No, it's based off of your humility. And then we have to continue in Christ. You know, you can get born again, whether you educated or not, and still not follow God to the end for whatever reasons. So just to throw all that. But we have to be led by the Spirit when we preach the gospel. And if you're an evangelist, you must be led by the Spirit. You can't just go to any random environment, any parade, and just start preaching the gospel and saying, I'm doing the work of God. You must be led there. So you check where you're going. You know, you're going to a college campus with a bunch of people with their minds already twisted up into thinking that a certain way. Make sure that God has called you to be there, because sometimes they're not open to hear the gospel. Okay. You don't want to waste God's time. You don't want to waste your time preaching a message to some people who don't want to hear it, who can't hear it. And that's the key word. They can't hear it. They're too proud. They're not at a place of humility where they can receive the gospel. So I just want to make sure that's out there. And so here's a few do's and don'ts that I've seen so-called evangelists or open-air preachers do. And this is because of their pride. I don't believe that they are born again in some cases. They're just religious and they want to promote Christianity. So one of the things I see is people preaching for self-glorification. They look at the souls that they win as trophies for themselves. These are souls for God, for his kingdom, for his body. It's not about you. But when they do that, they slap themselves on the back. They put a star on their heads and say, I'm great. I brought in 500 souls this year, you know, and it's about them. And you can't do that, because that's for God. Those people are for God. That's not about you. Now, you can be happy. We all happy when we see somebody accept the gospel, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. And you could thank God that he used you to do that, but don't get it twisted that it's about you and that you're doing this and that you're this great person who can move people to salvation because of your words. You know, give glory to God and allow him to lead you to do that. Don't self-glorify. Another thing I see open-air preachers doing, and they're on camera doing this, is debating for self-glorification, debating non-believers, atheists, false Christians, gays, Muslims, people who are adverse with the gospel. They like to get into debates and fights with these people, so because they know they can beat them. They like fighting so they can win, so they can feel some kind of way about themselves. So they go out and they get into arguments with these people who don't want to hear the gospel at all. They weren't led there by the Spirit to talk to these people. And they get into debates and fights so they can win and self-glorify and pat themselves on the back and say, I showed that atheist that they're wrong. I told that homosexual that they're wrong. I showed those Muslims that they don't have the right God. And they have it on camera and they put it on YouTube and they say, hi, look at me. I'm winning. I'm beating these unbelievers. You know, we should defend Christ, but we shouldn't be getting into debates and stuff like that for the purpose of self-glorification and winning and beating other people, you know, at arguments and stuff like that. So that I see a lot of pride in that, and that's what's going on there, and you're not going to win anybody like that. So like I said before, don't preach in pride. So some people, they walk around with a self-elevated mindset that simply because they're preaching that they're doing the work and they're all right with God. Okay? Well, I'm an evangelist. I'm doing the work. I'm out here on the streets every day preaching the gospel. I'm a good person. Therefore, I'm accepted by God because I preach the gospel on a daily basis. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door talking about, what are you doing? You're not doing door to door like us, you know, and they're boasting in there as if, you know, they're all right with God because they're out knocking on doors. Activity is not going to make you right with God. Okay, so you know, you can be obedient, but don't walk around with a stamp on your chest thinking that you're straight with God just because of that. You know, another thing is people walk in arrogance. I've seen this. because they know that I'm a saint and everybody that I'm talking to right now in this street corner is a sinner. And they had their chest out and they think they're better than the people and they walk around like that. And God is not pleased with their mindset. You're not better than those people. Christ saved you, and you ought to be humble and say, look, I'm giving this gospel because he saved me. But to be like that is, God is like, man, you ain't right. He might use you, but ultimately he's not going to be able to save you because you are arrogant in your mindset. You're looking down on people because you have a ministry and you have, quote unquote, been saved and everybody else is not. They're dirty and they're sinners and all this kind of stuff. No. So another thing here is don't go anywhere God didn't lead you. You can't just preach at any group, at any time and anywhere. So some people go to different festivals, like a homosexual parade or something like that, and they're thinking, okay, we gonna convict these homosexuals. Maybe God didn't send you there. Did God send you there? Make sure he did. You got to be led. I'm not saying these places are not where you shouldn't be, but I'm saying that you should be led at all times because God has chosen people to hear the gospel. You can't just blast the information out. This is a precious word. You can't just get this out to everybody. You know, don't waste your time giving this out to people who ain't going to hear it. They're not going to accept it. So go only where God leads you so that you can have the most impact. OK, once again, don't preach to condemn people to hell. Like I said, that lady, Jesus said, homosexuals, y'all going to hell. Maybe they not. If the homosexual repents, he's not going to hell now, is he? If he no longer be, if he gives up homosexuality, he's going to heaven. And if he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and begin to walk in righteousness, he's going to heaven. So to just condemn them for the current state that they're in, that's not helping them. Once again, I said, don't preach without a way for believers to follow up and connect with teaching and fellowship. If you do have a church that's sound, there's teachers there, they should be able to connect with them after the fact. Like I said, a business card, a phone number, a website, or something to connect the people to somebody else to help further in their discipleship and growth. Okay? You can't leave people just, out there. What do they do next? They've accepted the gospel. Like, what do they do next? They don't know. And they need to be discipled and taught. Okay, you don't leave them out there by themselves like that. Another thing you shouldn't be doing is, and I've seen this often, just placing tracts with everybody. Gospel tracts with everybody. Once again, you're just assuming everybody on the street isn't born again. You know, it just reveals that you're not following the Holy Spirit. You're wasting paper, printing cost, giving out pamphlets and flyers to people that may not want to hear it, or they're born again and they already know. So what do they need to see that for? But it just goes to show you. And I've seen these usually older women going around doing this. And it's like, you're wasting your time. You know, I'm at a place where I might end up beginning to rebuke some of these women because it's sometimes it's insulting to give me a track like, as if I'm not a child of God and don't know nothing about God. And it's just, it bothers me sometimes to see that. And then they're out there alone, and we see in scripture that when people evangelize, when they went out, they always went out in twos. So you should have somebody else with you, just for support. So I think that's something that that should be done. If you're going to be campaigning, if you're going to be an evangelist, you probably should have somebody else with you. I see this happening off open air preachers. They are filming themselves, and you should, in some cases, if you can, film yourself for legal purposes, because in some cases, people will try things and you have to have it on camera for proof. And there are laws in place that you kind of have to have to abide by. And so you want to make sure that that's on camera, if you can. What I don't like seeing is people posting video of sinners arguing with them being ugly and crazy and have not got their consent. I've seen this often. These preachers, whether they Black Hebrew Israelites or they so-called Christians or whatever, they go out, they get into a argument, conflict with a sinner, and they look stupid on camera. And the person takes this footage and put it on YouTube and say, hi, look at this dumb sinner. Don't know what he's talking about. Look at this. Now, if they consented to being on YouTube for everybody to see, then fine. But in some cases, that's not happening. And you're making a mockery of sinners, and that's not right. Ultimately, we must, respect people and not make fun of people for being in sin. That's pride as well. Look at you. You're wrong. I'm going to put you on camera and show everybody how much you're wrong and how right I am. You know, that's not right. So that's all I got to say about evangelists. You know, it's a simple work. It's simply giving out the gospel of, and you're passionate about it, are passionate about the gospel. You probably an evangelist, and your God will lead you in ways to campaign for him and to put out the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, a reconciliation between God and man, the cleansing of all the sins through confession and repentance, and all the great things he does after you've been converted and been born again. It's a great ministry to be a part of, but you must be called, you must be led by the Spirit in everything you do. You can't just go out and decide you're going to figure out ways of campaigning. Until next time, walk in the Spirit. And if you're not born again, read the gospel and accept it and allow God to change it. We'll be right back.